we're going to continue a series. I know we've been picking it up here and there over the last few weeks, but we're coming towards the end. This is the penultimate message in our series called Led by the Shepherd. As a church family, we've been looking at, over the last few months, Psalm 23 together. And it's been a great journey opening up this psalm, unpacking this very familiar psalm. I'm sure whether you've been to church before or you haven't, I'm sure you've heard of this psalm. It's read in funerals, in weddings, it's read in school assemblies. I'm sure you are familiar with it. But the title of this series has been Led by the Shepherd. I'm so grateful we've got a good shepherd, our God, who leads us through this life. We don't have to walk through this life on our own, but we've got a good shepherd who leads us. And the title of this message this morning, as we come to verse 5 in Psalm 23, is The Shepherd's Provision. The Shepherd's Provision. And it says this in Psalm 23, verse 1 to 5. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You will honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessing." You know, this past week I had a week off, and this past week, Georgina and I, we went up to a wedding in Peterborough. Georgina's friend from university was getting married, and we went up on last weekend, and we were celebrating with the couple, and it was a wonderful day. It was a beautiful day celebrating this couple together. We had a fantastic time while we were up in Peterborough. But if you've ever been to Peterborough before, you'll know it's a long way away. It's about 5 hours or so in the car. It's a long journey, and I hate long journeys, but we had to go there, and it was interesting to see places I'd never seen before. As I said, we had a brilliant time, and then we came back, and we came back this week, and we traveled through the day, and we got home early one evening this week. And because we had been sitting down in the car, because I drove some of the way, Georgia drove some of the way, because we'd been stuck in the car, the first thing that we decided to do when we got home was we chucked the luggage in through the door, and we went straight outside in the garden. We wanted a bit of fresh air. The weather was nice, so I decided, I might sound crazy after this, my parents would be shocked that I did this, but I cut the grass as soon as I got home. Can you believe it? I know, what a husband is there. I know, proper man. I cut the grass as soon as I got home. I wanted some fresh air. George went around to make sure all her babies, all the plants were okay, make sure they were all watered. So she watered the plants. I cut the grass. And after doing that for, I think it took about a half hour or so, an hour or so, something like that. After doing that, I started to put the lawnmower away in the garden. And I just stopped for a few moments and I just had a look around. I don't know if you've ever had one of those moments where you just pause and you begin to take things in. And as I was just looking around, all of a sudden in that moment, I just began to be thankful for all that God had done. I just began to praise God in that moment. In the quietness of my heart, as I looked around, I thought, gosh, Lord, you've blessed me. Lord, I've been so blessed by you. You've been so good in my life. I began to think about how God had blessed me with a wonderful wife, how God had blessed me with a wonderful home. I began to just take everything in, and I just thought, Lord, you've brought me through so much. I am so grateful. And you know, as I began to think of how God blessed me, I began to think about all that God brought me through as well. I began to look back for a few moments, all the hardships, all the challenges, all the battles that many of you know, many of you don't know some of them as well. All the things that God has brought me through every season of life. God has been faithful through every moment. God has blessed, God has provided, and I'm so grateful for that. As I look back, I could see God's hand of blessing, but I could also see how God has provided as well. God has been faithful through every battle, through every season, through every challenge. God has been so good. And you know, in that moment, as I began to think about all that God has brought me through, I began to realize as well, God, if you've brought me through all that, if you've blessed me through all that, if you provided all that I've needed through that, God, I know you'll do the same in the future as well. I know that you'll be faithful in the future because our God never changes. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our God is a God who brings us through. He's helped us through many challenges. And this morning, as I was just praying for us and about what to share from this passage of scripture, I believe that God wants to encourage you today. Maybe you're in a season of, of a challenging season. Maybe you're in a difficult season. Maybe you're wondering, will you ever get through these battles? Will you ever get through this struggle? I believe the Lord wants to encourage you this morning. I'm so grateful that our God doesn't bless us just when we pass the struggles or challenges. But we learn a powerful thing in Psalm 23. The Lord teaches us something wonderful. The God is the God who provides for us even in the middle of the battle. God can bless us even in the middle of the struggle, even in the middle of the challenges that we face in life. And so we're going to look at that this morning in Psalm 23. But before we do that, it's worth just remembering about this psalm, about looking at the context of this psalm. We need to remember this psalm. Psalm 23 was written by a man named David. Now, David, he started out as a shepherd boy. His job was to look after his father's sheep on the hills of Bethlehem. That's what David did. And that meant for David, he'd spend long hours out in the wilderness. He'd take care of his father's sheep. He knew what it was like to be a good shepherd. He would find good grass for the sheep. He would find good water for the sheep to drink. David would protect the sheep as well from wild animals. He made sure that the sheep didn't wander off. David knew what it was like to be a good shepherd. Now, it wasn't an easy job. Being a shepherd in those times, in that culture, it wasn't an easy job. But it taught David a lot about care, about protection, about sacrifice. Now, the Bible tells us that later on in life, David gets called and anointed to become the king of Israel. But you know, even though he becomes king of Israel later on in his life, he never forgets the lessons that he learned out looking after his father's sheep on the hills in Bethlehem. And you know, when he writes Psalm 23, he remembers these lessons, but he teaches us something powerful. This Psalm 23 isn't just a job description for shepherds. If you're looking for to become a good shepherd, then you can look at this. If you want to become a farmer, look at Psalm 23. It's a good way to become a good farmer, a good shepherd. But this is much more than that. David wanted us to see something much more than that. When David writes Psalm 23, he teaches us that God is the ultimate shepherd. That God is the good shepherd. And when David writes this, he says that God is my shepherd, and I am one of the sheep. And David says in the beginning, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. David then just goes on to share how God looks after him just like he looks after the sheep. He says that his good shepherd, the Lord, takes care of him. He says how the good shepherd provides for him, how the good shepherd leads him to places of rest. David says how the good shepherd, how God leads him through the challenging seasons, through the darkest valleys, how the good shepherd protects and comforts and is there for the shepherd. And I've got, for the sheep, and I've got good news for you this morning. That David's good shepherd is our good shepherd as well. We can say this morning as followers of Jesus, the Lord is my shepherd. God is your shepherd as well. And I'm sure many of us can say as followers of Jesus how God has provided, how God has blessed, how God has brought us through, how God has been there for each and every one of us. Just like David says here, I know I can say that as well. But as we come to Psalm 25, David, he talks about the valley and how the good shepherd brings the sheep through the valley, how God brings us through the difficult moments. But as we come to verse 5, David paints for us this incredible picture. He says this in verse 5. It says, you prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. It's an interesting verse, isn't it? In the middle of this psalm where he's talking about sheep and shepherds, all of a sudden David says here that you prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. You know, many people think when it comes to verse 5 that David is actually, he stops here talking about the sheep and the shepherd. Many people think that he's moving on to something else. Maybe here David is talking about his experience later on in life where David is a king and where he's hosting meals and banquets for people. Maybe that's what David is writing about here in Psalm 23 and verse 5. Some Bible commentators actually believe that David here is writing about the shepherds in Israel and how shepherds in Israel, in their culture, if there were other shepherds around, shepherds would welcome them into their tents. They'd provide meals for other shepherds. They'd host other shepherds, even in the middle of the desert. That's what I thought of when I first began reading this passage, when I first began reading this verse. This must be to do with hosting and meals and God being a host for us and how God has blessed us. I began to think of all that. But you know, as I began to pray a little bit more, study a little bit more, it became real that David here hasn't stopped talking about sheep and shepherds. David actually here, he hasn't stopped talking about that. David here in Psalm 23 verse 5 is actually picturing the relationship between the shepherd and his sheep. But what David is talking about here, he's talking about a change in scenery. There's a shift in territory, how the shepherd has walked the sheep through the valley, how he's brought them through the valley. But now David is showing us a different territory. In fact, David is showing us here about the sheep and the shepherd in enemy territory, in dangerous territory. David here is showing us a picture of the shepherd leading the sheep to open fields where there are dangers all around. But David wants us to see something important here. That although the shepherd leads the sheep to these open pastures, that the shepherd never leaves the sheep on their own. David wants us to see here that even in these dangerous places, even in enemy territory, the shepherd still looks after the sheep. The shepherd still provides for the sheep. The shepherd takes care of the sheep. And David doesn't just want us to know about the sheep and shepherd here. He wants us to know that our God takes care of us, even when we're in strange territory, even when we're in enemy territory, even when there's dangers all around us, our God still provides for us in the middle of all that. And so we'll see here, how does God help us in the middle of danger? How does God help us when there's dangers all around, when there's threats all around us? Maybe you're experiencing that in your life. Maybe as you've come to church today, maybe you're walking through a season where you feel like there's threats and dangers all around you. Maybe you're going through a challenging season. It's been hard and you feel like you're in an open territory. How does God take care of you in those moments? Well, we see here three ways in which the Good Shepherd provides for us in the middle of the battles of life, even in the middle of danger of life. He says, first of all here, that the shepherd, the first thing he does is the shepherd prepares. God prepares. David says there in verse 5, says, you prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. I love what the New King James Version of the Bible says. It says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, when David here, when he's talking about a table, I think many of us might think like a proper table, like a communion table, a dining table. That's what I thought of. So, first of all, the shepherd provides a table for the sheep. It sounds a bit strange, doesn't it? Sheep can't sit down, you know, they might be candles and plates and all these things. It seems a little bit strange here. What is the table that the shepherd is providing and preparing for the sheep? He's preparing a place for the sheep to eat. Well, in the Middle East, shepherds, they'd often lead the sheep to these places, these open pastures, like I said, which were called tablelands. This is the table. These flat places, often up in the hills, these flat places where the shepherd would lead the sheep up the hills, and then afterwards, they would let the sheep rest in these places. Now, there were dangers all around. There were wild animals. There were things all around. But you know what a good shepherd would do? A good shepherd, before he would lead his sheep up to the tablelands, the good shepherd would go before the sheep and he'd make sure that the area was safe for the sheep to come up to rest, to eat and enjoy so they could relax and just find nourishment for themselves. A good shepherd would go before the sheep. It would get rid of any poisonous plants on the floor, make sure there was no animals around, make sure there was no bandits around. A shepherd would make sure there's clean water, that there was good pasture on the tablelands. And then the shepherd would lead the sheep up to the tablelands. And you know what David wants us to know in this moment, and as I began reading this and praying over this, I believe God wants to encourage us with this morning, that our God goes before us in the battles, that our God prepares the place for us before we even enter into the battles. We might experience battle moments of battles within our lives. We might go through hard seasons, challenges, and difficulties. There might be dangers all around us, but the Bible reminds us our God goes before us. He prepares us. He prepares the place for us, that even in the midst of the battle, we can still be refreshed. We can still enjoy ourselves. We can still find peace. We can still find safety, even in these dangerous places. You know, I've experienced that even in my own life. When I've gone through hard seasons, you know what's been amazing? When these things have come against me, when the enemy of my soul, Satan, might throw things against me, when people might throw things against me, when I feel even lost in myself, even in those moments, I've experienced a peace that surpasses all understanding. It doesn't make sense sometimes. On the outside, you might say, Luke, why aren't you crumbling in this moment? All this that's happening to you, why aren't you folding? Why haven't you given in? It's because there's a shepherd who's gone before and has prepared for me. He's providing for me. He's taking care of me in the midst of the battle. He's gone ahead. And I want to encourage you this morning. I believe the Lord would encourage you that even if you're in a battle right now, the good shepherd's gone ahead. He's provided all that you need, the peace that you need. He's given you the strength that you need to sustain. He's given you all that you need to go through that season. Jesus says this in John 10:27. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Did you know our good shepherd is always in front of us? God always goes before us. He leads the way. He makes the way through it as well. Everything that you were going through or you have gone through, know that God has gone before you. And he's given you all that you need to get through that as well. He prepares a table for you, even in the presence of your enemies. You can eat, you can relax, you can have peace and joy, even when the enemies around you are watching. Why? Because the good shepherd has provided for you. He's provided a place for you. Our good shepherd has prepared. And the ultimate way our good shepherd prepared the place for us and a way for us is through what he did for us on the cross. Jesus showed us the greatest act of preparation. Jesus took on sin. He took on death. He took on the enemy and he won the victory on the cross when he cried out, "It is finished." Even with the enemies all around, Jesus made a public spectacle of them, as it says in Colossians, by winning the victory through the cross. Our God prepares a place for us. He prepares a way for us. And did you know our God is still in the business of preparing as well? He's still preparing. You might say, what is God preparing? What is Jesus preparing for us now? Well, it says this in John 14:2-3. Jesus says, there is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. Did you know that our God not only goes before us in this life, not only does he take care of us in the midst of the battles of this life, but our God has already gone ahead of us and he's preparing a place for us. Where is that place? It's in his presence for all of eternity. He's in heaven with him for all of eternity. Jesus is preparing a place for us. Did you know today that earth isn't your home? If you're a follower of Jesus, heaven is our home, and we will be with our Savior, with all of our loved ones who once walked with him, who have gone to be with the Lord. We will be reunited with them one day, but we will be with our Savior one day as well. What a hope we have as followers of Jesus. I don't think we talk about this enough, especially in our time, that there is a life beyond this life. And I want to encourage you this morning, if you don't know Jesus, he's prepared a place for you so you can spend all of eternity with him. Know today, if you are going through a battle, he's prepared a place for you right here and right now. But he's prepared a place for you even beyond that as well. He's making a place ready for us. So our good shepherd, he provides for us by preparing a table before us. But David goes on to say this. He says, secondly, he says, not only does our shepherd provide a table in the midst of the enemies, even when enemies are all around us, not only does he say that, he goes on to say, you prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. The good shepherd provides a table, but he also anoints with oil. You might say, what does that mean? When we think of anointing of oil. You might think of, you know, the king being crowned or something like a special religious service where a priest might put oil on somebody special who's becoming a king or a queen of a nation, something like that. Maybe you might think of a special church service where somebody's becoming a minister and somebody will put oil on them. Or you might say, you know, that's what I think of when it comes to oil. But you know, here we see something interesting in Psalm 23. It goes beyond just, oil goes just beyond a special ceremony. David shows us here that in his time, in his day, oil was practical and it was necessary. It wasn't just reserved for special occasions. Oil was something for the everyday, that it was needed for every day. If you know anything about being a farmer or a sheep or anything like that, then you know in hot summer months, especially in this culture, in hot summer months, sheep, they suffered from terrible pests and insects coming to bother them. Sheep would suffer from flies, there'd be lice, and in particular in that area, there was something called the nose fly. I don't think we have a nose fly over here. I know we have horse flies, but they have a nose fly. And what happens in the Middle East, a nose fly would come to the sheep and it would crawl up the nose of a sheep. It would lay eggs in the nostrils. I know it's a bit graphic, isn't it, for a Sunday morning. It lays eggs in the nostrils of the sheep. And it would cause the sheep, obviously, terrible irritation. And the sheep, they would become restless because there's these flies in their nose, obviously. It'd become incredibly restless and a sheep could go crazy. They could actually harm themselves because of these pests that were coming into their noses, obviously. And so what a good shepherd would do, a good shepherd would protect the sheep from these pests that would come along. And a good shepherd, he would make a mixture of oil and a few other things, and he would pour the oil over the sheep's head and over his face, and especially over the eyes and the nose. And the oil, it would act as a protection, like a shield from these insects. It would protect as a barrier from these flies from crawling up the sheep's nose and in their eyes. And so the sheep could then rest and carry on living without any distraction. As you can see in that photo there, the farmer pouring or the shepherd pouring oil over the sheep's head. And they still do it in the culture today as well. Without this oil, the sheep wouldn't survive very long. They could harm themselves. They could die eventually because of this. But you know, David uses this very vivid image to show us how God cares for us. That our God is not a God who is a distant God, but he's a practical God. He's a God who draws near to us and helps us in the practical everyday things of life. That when the challenges and the little things that come to buzz and distract us and harm us and hurt us, when those things come along, our God isn't far away from us, but our God protects us even in the everyday things. I'm so grateful that God isn't just with us on Sunday mornings. Did you know that? Might be a revelation for you today. God isn't just here on Sundays. God is with you every day. God's with you on Mondays. God's with you on Thursdays, in the problems with the bank, in the health challenges, with the problems with your families, with your struggles, when you're planning things out. God's there to help you. God protects you. God helps you in the everyday moments of life. You might say, how does he do this? How does God do this if God is our shepherd? Well, the Bible says that God anoints us with oil as well. You might say, what is the oil? Well, God anoints us with his presence and power through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a picture of oil is often a picture of the Holy Spirit in the Bible, the third person of the Godhead. I want to say this morning that the Holy Spirit isn't an it. The Holy Spirit isn't a thing. The Holy Spirit isn't something you just feel in big church services. The Holy Spirit is God himself who has come to live with you, dwell in you, and help you live this Christian life. And he protects us from the things that the enemy might throw against us. Jesus gave this wonderful promise in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, because I've got good news. The Holy Spirit isn't just for church pastors and church leaders. The Holy Spirit is for all followers of Jesus. He says this, Jesus said in Acts 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Romans 8, verse 9 says, but you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Holy Spirit, if you have the Spirit of the living God in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. If you're a follower of Jesus, When you gave your life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit has come to dwell in you. He's the one who convicted you of sin, who revealed Jesus to you. He comes to live in you. But we here at Gateway, we're a Pentecostal church, and we believe in a second baptism. We believe that there is a baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit comes to empower us to be witnesses for Jesus, but to live this Christian life as well. We can know his power over the enemy in our lives. We can know his help in the everyday moments of life. It says, you know, one of the names of the Holy Spirit in the Bible is Helper. He is our helper. And I don't know about you, but often, more often than not, I don't need help on a Sunday morning in church. More often, I need help living this out on a Sunday evening or on a Tuesday afternoon. I need help every day. But God has given us the Helper, our Helper, the Comforter. There's many names of the Holy Spirit, but he is there, the third person of the Godhead, to help you and me every single day. I love what Paul says about the Holy Spirit in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 to 19. He gives this instruction to Christians. He says, don't be drunk with wine because that'll ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, making music to the Lord. There's something better than wine. It's the joy of the Lord that comes through the Holy Spirit. There's something better than anything this world can offer. It's God in us, his presence, his power, his joy, his life. He's the only one who can fill the longing in our hearts. And did you know, to be filled with the Holy Spirit isn't just a one-time event. It doesn't just happen on one moment. But the word there, to be filled, instead be filled with the Holy Spirit, it means ongoing. Keep on being filled. In the original Greek, it means keep on being filled. In other words, the Holy Spirit is available for you every day. Did you know you could be filled with the Holy Spirit Wednesday morning this week? If you open up your heart and say, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. I need your help. He will fill you with the Spirit to make Jesus known, but also to live for Jesus as well. So you might say this morning, this sounds great. I want this helper in my life. How can I be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, it's often a lot simpler than we make it. We can often complicate this. But how can we know God helping us practically every day? How can we be open and be filled with the Holy Spirit every day? Number one, there's a few things. If you've got a phone, you might want to take a photo. It's totally up to you. But here are a few ways you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Number one, ask God to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus says in Luke 11, ask and you shall receive. Knock, you shall find. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open to you. And Jesus there is talking about the Holy Spirit. Ask the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit. God is just looking for hungry hearts. God's not looking for a special people. He's just looking for people who are available and open and say, Lord, I want more of you in my life. There's too much of me. I want more of you within my life. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Begin to pray and ask the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Secondly, believe and receive by faith. God's promise. It's a promise from the Lord. You don't need to wait for a sign. You don't need to wait for a special feeling. Believe the word of the Lord. Trust that what God has said, he'll do. If God has promised to fill you with the Holy Spirit, if he's given him to you, then you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Believe and receive and ask the Lord by faith. Lord, I believe you're going to fill me. Get your life right with him. As it says there in number three, third point, surrender your every day to the Lord. I wonder how many of us ask God to fill us with his Spirit every day, or do we just wait for Sundays? I believe this community and our worlds and our homes would look a lot different if we said, Lord, fill me today. God, I give you my day. How many of you take control of your day instead of allowing God to take control of your day? I believe our days would look a lot different and we'd see God do a lot more if we surrender to him and say, Lord, fill me with your Spirit today. May I be led by your Spirit. There was a pastor, I think his name was Dr. Younggi Cho, and he used to say he had the biggest Pentecostal church in Korea, I believe it was, a massive church. And he once said every morning he gets up and he says, Holy Spirit, will you fill me today and will you lead me today? He began his day by asking the Lord to fill him. And I believe if we do that, we'll have a great impact from the Lord. Every moment, every day, every thought, say, Lord, I'm yours. Fill me and guide me. How else can we be filled with the Holy Spirit? Number four, confess honestly and repent. In other words, there's junk and rubbish that fills our lives. We sin. Even as followers of Jesus, we can still mess up and fall short of the glory of God. But the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. When we say sorry for the things that we've done, we keep our hearts pure and clean and right before the Lord, then God is able to fill us with his Holy Spirit. He makes us holy, but he also is able to fill us with his Holy Spirit as well. Ask the Lord, Lord, is there anything stopping you from filling me with your Holy Spirit? Lord, I'm sorry for that. I bring it to the foot of the cross. Will you forgive me, Lord? And then watch how God will fill you and work in your life. Another powerful way to be filled with the Holy Spirit is to worship. Begin worshiping Jesus. Begin to praise him. God inhabits the praises of his people. Wherever you are, you don't have to sing on Sundays. You can sing wherever you are. And then finally, walk in obedience and trust. In other words, when God fills you with the Holy Spirit, he'll begin to speak to you and lead you and guide you. Obey him. Listen to him. Even if it seems scary, he'll give you all that you need. The Good Shepherd provides for us by anointing us with the Holy Spirit to help us with every pest, every challenge, everything the enemy might throw against us. The Holy Spirit is there to help us. He is our defense. He's our protection. He's our shield. He protects our mind, our hearts, our lives. The Holy Spirit helps us practically, not just on Sundays as well. You can know his presence through your life. And finally, as we come to a conclusion, the Good Shepherd provides for us by preparing a table. He anoints our head with oil. And finally, David says here, my cup overflows with blessings. In other words, our God is a God of blessings. Our God is a God of blessings. David here used a picture that was familiar in those times, that a sign of joy was often an overflowing cup, a cup filled to the brim and overflowing, spilling over. In other words, you might say, what's this got to do with sheep and shepherds? Well, a good shepherd would lead the sheep to a place where there is green pasture. It wouldn't lead it to a place where there's no grass and there's very little water. A good shepherd would lead the sheep and find a place where there is abundance, where there is not just enough for the sheep to survive, but where there is more than enough. That's what a good shepherd would do for the sheep. And did you know our God is the God of the more than? Our God doesn't just bless us just enough to get by. Our God blesses us more than enough. He has blessed us, as we sing on Sunday mornings often. We've got 10,000 reasons to praise the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. He has blessed us more than 10,000 times. Begin to think, even this morning where you are, how has God blessed you today? A roof over your head, a warm home, a bed to sleep in, family members, people who care about you, a job maybe, loved ones who check in on you, a church family who cares and prays for you. Just begin to think and count all the blessings. As that old hymn says, count your blessings one by one. Count them one by one. Begin to think of all that God has done. Did you know our God doesn't just want us as his children to just survive? Our God wants us to thrive. He wants you to thrive. He wants to bless you so that you're overflowing. And God wants to bless you even in the middle of when enemies are around you, even in the middle of the battle. God can bless you so that your cup is overflowing. And I want to say this morning, because many people think God's going to bless me and it's going to be about money. It's going to be about material things. And God does bless in that way. And I'm grateful for that. But the Bible says that our God blesses us spiritually. That's the real blessing. That's where real blessing comes from. Spiritual blessing. As it says in Ephesians chapter 2, we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. That's where the real blessing is. Don't go think for things of this world. Ask God, God, bless me spiritually, that I might know you more and more, that I might walk in your ways more and more. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life, or an abundant life. Our good shepherd doesn't just protect us, he blesses us. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, and God will generously provide all that you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over, listen to that, to share with others. Did you know God has blessed you to be a blessing? It isn't just to keep the blessing to ourselves, but it's to bless those around us. It might not just be financially, it might be with your time, it might be with your words of encouragement and just being there, but God has called you to be a blessing. Our world would look a lot different, wouldn't it, if instead of harboring things and keeping things to ourselves, what if we became a generous people and a blessed people who bless others and want to see others lifted up? That's the way of our God, because our God has done that for you and me. Our good shepherd fills our cup to overflowing. He's the God of the more than. And if you're in lack this morning, know that our God will not only provide, he'll more than provide. And I've seen that in my own life as I looked in my garden this week and thought, gosh, I haven't done anything to deserve this, Lord. But you've blessed me more than I could ever deserve. And I give you praise for that, Lord. I believe God will do that for you in your life as well. Wherever you are, whatever situation you're in, God will bless you with all that you need and more than that as well. So as we come to an end today, I don't know what your enemy territory is. Maybe you're in enemy territory. Maybe you're on the table right now. God will prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemy. Know he's gone before you. He's given you all you need to get through that challenge. Know that whatever you're struggling with day by day, he's provided the Holy Spirit to anoint your head with oil for protection, to help you moment by moment. And did you know that our God is able to bless you more than you could ever ask for or imagine, according to his power in and through your life? What's your job this morning? If you're in enemy territory, just stick close to the shepherd and let the shepherd do his work in your life. Let him prepare the table for you. Let him anoint you. Let him anoint your head with oil. Let him bless you more than you could have ever asked for or imagined. This morning, we have a shepherd who provides for us. And not just when we're on the mountaintops, but when we're on the table mounts as well. He provides for us in every single season. Psalm 23, verse 5, you prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessing. Our shepherd is the shepherd who provides.